So the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that what happens when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? What are the odds of that happening? And it's happening this year. In fact, we have a principle, Lo Adu Rosh, that Rosh Hashanah can't fall out on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. So if it's going to fall out on Shabbos, it has to be, the first day has to be on Saturday, on Shabbos, like it is this year. I guess Hillel Hasheni, who set up the calendar, he must have had some Ruach HaKodesh, some divine inspiration to work it out that this year, because of Corona-19 and COVID, the safety issues, it's only going to work out where we only have to blow shofar one day this year. Usually we blow shofar on both days. But this year, as we'll see, that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, the Mishnah tells us what depends where you live. It says, B'mikdash hayutokin, or if you were in the Beis HaMikdash at the time, so when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos and you were in the temple, so then hayutokin. They used to blow the shofar even on Shabbos. Avalob Medina, but not outside the temple. So we'll assume literally the temple means the temple. According to the Rambam, it might mean the whole old city of Jerusalem, where the walled city is. But for our purposes, we'll just keep it simple. In the temple, they blew the shofar even on Shabbos. Outside the temple, so whether that's Ottawa, Hamilton, New York, Los Angeles, we're all considered outside of the temple. And therefore, we do not blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. The question is, the Gemara wants to know, what's the difference? Why not? If we're blowing shofar on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple, why not blow the Medina? Why not blow shofar outside the temple? Why don't we blow shofar in Ottawa this year? What's the difference? So the Gemara starts off giving the answer. As we mentioned on Thursday night, there are two psukim regarding the mitzvah of shofar. One is in Parshas Emor, Zichron Trua, and another one in Parshas Pinchas, Yom Trua. Why do we need two verses to tell me one mitzvah of shofar? So this is the conclusion of the Jerusalem Talmud, but the Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud, gives this suggestion as well. You know why I need two verses? Because it depends when Rosh Hashanah, what day of the week Rosh Hashanah falls out on. If Rosh Hashanah falls out during the week, I am blowing shofar, so it's called a Yom Trua, a day of blowing of the shofar. But when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, it's a Zichron Trua. Since we're not hearing the shofar, so I'm only going to remember the shofar. So that's what the Gemara first suggests. That is the reason why that we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. But the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, so why should we blow shofar in the Beis HaMikdash? If there is no mitzvah to blow shofar on Shabbos because of the Pasuk Zichron Trua, so therefore the Gemara rejects that answer. And the bottom line is, the way we assume is, really, biblically speaking, on the Torah level, we have a mitzvah of blowing shofar Shabbos and Sunday. There is no difference what day of the week Rosh Hashanah falls on. The biblical commandment of shofar we have, there's no difference. If there's no difference, so how come we're not going to blow shofar then? If I'm telling you there's a biblical mitzvah in Hamilton, in Ottawa, in New York, to blow shofar this Shabbos, so why don't we follow, since when don't we follow the commands of the Torah and the commands of God? So the Talmud tells us, because the rabbis were concerned, it's known as Gzeira de Rabba. It was a decree that they set up that they were concerned it might lead to desecration of the Shabbos. In other words, What's the concern? Everyone is obligated in hearing the shofar, but not everyone is an expert in blowing the shofar. So what's going to happen? You're going to wake up, especially this year, for those more people are probably not going to shul this year because of COVID. So what, you're going to wake up Shabbos morning. All right, shofar, I don't know what to do. So the way the Gemara writes is you're going to go to your expert. You're going to find whoever the Baal Tekiah is in Ottawa. You're going to go to him and you're going to have him teach you how to do it. But the Rambam's more practical. He says, no, you're just going to go to have him blow for you, which I assume most people, if you're going to start learning Shabbos morning, even if it wasn't Shabbos, you probably wouldn't be able to blow a shofar too well. So the Rambam says, you're going to go to your friend and have him blow a shofar for you. And then we're afraid you're going to take the shofar and carry it. So we're afraid of desecration of the Shabbos. You're going to carry the shofar. And the Gemara goes on and says, it's also going to happen this year also. The first day of Sukkot. It says, Wakachtem lachem beyom harishon. We have a biblical mitzvah to shake the four species, the lulav, esrog, hadassim, and aravos, on the first day of Sukkot, which is Shabbos this year. I said, how come we're not going to do it? It's a biblical mitzvah. Again, Zera the rabbi, the rabbis were afraid of desecration of Shabbos, and they said, no Dalid mean, no four species this year on the first day of Sukkot, which is Shabbos. And the Gemara said as well, by Purim, the way our calendar is set up, we can't have Purim on Shabbos. By we, I mean us. The only place where they could have Purim on Shabbos is in Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, they read on the 15th day of Adar. The walled cities, it's a walled city. But everyone else, even in Israel, reads on the 14th day. So the way our calendar is set up is the only Yerushalayim could have a Purim on Shabbos. And when it does, it's a very festive weekend. It's known as Purim Mishulash by Yerushalayim. It's a three-day Purim. They split it up. They do some of the celebrating on Friday, some on Shabbos, and some on Sunday. We don't have it. We don't have it on Shabbos. I think this year, actually, we're having it on this coming Purim, I believe, might even be on Friday, which would mean that it could be a Purim Mishulash Yerushalayim this year. I have to check the calendar. So nevertheless, so what's the conclusion of the Bavli? The conclusion is that really in our Torah we should be blowing shofar, but the rabbis say no. So let me ask you, if I don't get it, if God tells me to do something or the rabbis tell you to do something, who you can, I don't mean by the rabbis, or I don't even mean Rabbi Finkelstein. I mean the Beis Din, I mean the rabbis of old. So what do you mean? We listen to the rabbis over God? Like, isn't that heresy? So the answer is no. It's not heresy only because God told us that we have to listen to the rabbis. There's a verse we read a couple of weeks ago in Parsha Shoftim. That the verse says, it's don't turn away from the base. It's talking about the base in Haggadah. But the great Sanhedrin, don't turn away from them. Whatever they tell you, right or left. And Rashi quotes a famous Sifri that Rashi writes. He says, you know, what does it mean? Don't turn away right or left. So he says, you know what? If the rabbis tell you right is right and left is left, of course you listen to anyone, even if they're not rabbis, if they're telling you the right thing. But even if the rabbis tell you right is left and left is right, you have to follow them. In fact, Hermann Wolk, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, he's an author. He wrote different books. One of the famous books is The Caine Mutiny. The Caine is the name of the ship. Mutiny is what happened on the ship. That basically he was teaching in Yeshiva University for a short while, well before my time. And he was explaining to the students why he called his book The Caine Mutiny, or not why he called it that. What it's about is when people, the captain on the ship goes crazy and he gives everyone wild and orders that don't, But you have to listen to the captain like you have to listen to the pilot no matter what, even if the guy's nuts. And he said, how did I get this idea from? From Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Parashat Shoftim said, you follow the rabbis. If they tell you left is right, right. So that's what he said. One of the students raised their hands and said, you didn't learn the Ramban. You must have left, you didn't see the Nechmanides, because the Ramban explains that can't be what he means, because we don't follow the rabbis if they're wrong. We have a Mishnah in the beginning of Harios, which tells if based in Haggadah made a mistake, you have to bring Karbanos, you got to bring atonement. So we don't listen to, if we know for sure something's wrong, we don't listen to it. But what it means to say is, Nirin, if it appears, to, if you're a tremendous Torah scholar and you know everything, and when you know someone's wrong, so then you could bring it up. But if you just, you're just reading the art scroll, or you're just reading, you just, you know a little bit, but you're not a big Torah scholar, so it's a, even if it appears to you like left is right, really, they're not telling you the wrong thing. You just think that then we listen to them. But nevertheless, that's the source that we have, the listening to the rabbi. So even though God says bo shofar on Shabbos and the rabbis say not to, I'm really listening to God because God told me I have to listen to the rabbis. But even the rabbis have limited power. They can't just erase anything in the Bible. They can't just tell me. So for instance, we have a Gemara in Yavamach which tells us Yesh Koach Biyad Chachamim Laakor Divrei Torah Beshev Vialtase. Translation, what the Gemara is saying is the rabbis have the power to tell you not to do something. In other words, they can't tell you to actively violate the Torah, but they can have the power to tell you merely not to actively do something. I'll give you an example. If you're having a Mac attack, for those who saw the commercial from years ago, that a person, the McDonald's commercial where a person has to go and get a cheeseburger or maybe a Big Mac, I don't know. So then the rabbis can tell you. If you're stuck on a desert island and the only food is a McDonald's, then you could eat it. You're allowed to eat non-kosher to save your life. But it's not a real illness. You just have a desire to eat a Big Mac. So then the rabbis cannot tell you it's okay because that's violating the Torah actively. I'm actively eating non. They can't tell me. They don't have that power. But to merely tell me not to perform a mitzvah, that they do have the power. So therefore, they can tell me not to blow shofar on Shabbos or not to shake the dalad minim, because that's b'shevi al tasa. They have the power to tell me not to do something as well. And as well, another limitation they have is they can't go against something which is explicitly written in the Torah. In other words, if it would say in the Torah, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we blow shofar, we'd be blowing shofar on Shabbos. It's, the Torah just said to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah in general. It didn't say on Shabbos, so it's not explicitly written in the Chumash, so the rabbis have the ability to uproot it. And for instance, we find this in another area. In fact, let me ask you a question. That we know we have a biblical, when a woman has a male child, and so we have a mitzvah of bris milah, a mitzvah of circumcision. And that is assuming a healthy child, everything goes well. We do the bris on day 8. So is one permitted to do a bris milah on Shabbos? So the halacha is, yes, we are. We do. Let me just qualify it. Only if it's a day 8 baby and has to be, can't be a C-section, I won't go into other exceptions, but it has to be a natural baby day 8, but it has to be on day 8, it has to be a milah bizmana. If it's a baby, if it's day 10, 11, day 25, then you can't do it on Shabbos, you wait until Sunday, the next day. But yes, but we do a milah on Shabbos. The question is, I'm confused here. When the mitzvah of shofar, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you tell me no. We're worried about carrying the shofar. So how come we're not worried about carrying the knife, carrying the baby? How come the rabbis did not make a decree by saying no milah today? If we make it by Shabbos, Sukkot, Lulav and Esrog and Megillah, why are we discriminating against those three? Well, why does Mila get special status? That's the question the commentators ask. So the answer is, they give is the many answers, but a couple of answers are, that one answer is because, one is very a psychological, practical answer is, but when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, or Sukkot, or Megillah, everybody, the whole Jewish people are obligated in the mitzvah. So we're all going to be so excited. We're not, there's no neutral, objective person watching to remind us, no, it's Shabbos, you can't carry, don't carry the shofar. So when everyone's involved, we're more concerned there'll be a mistake. However, by a bris milah, it's only on one individual, so the other people will be there to make sure that they don't carry the knife and carry the baby. Or perhaps we're not concerned that someone... It's one thing to try to blow shofar on your own. It's another thing if you don't know what you're doing to start performing a bris on someone else. So very practical reasons. But and a more halachic reasons given as well are... See, milah is unique. Usually when you perform, you get reward and you get credit when you perform any mitzvah. But if you don't perform a mitzvah, there's no punishment. We only get punishment when we violate a negative commandment. It's still a wrong thing to do. If I don't put on tefillin tomorrow morning, I nullify a positive commandment. But I do not get, I wouldn't get a good old-fashioned whooping. I wouldn't get makis. There's only two exceptions to the rule that if I violate a positive commandment, there's a punishment. Although the punishment is up in heaven, not here. And one is Karban Pesach, we don't have today, the Paschal Lamb. The other one is Bris Mila. So since Mila is a Asei Sheyesh Bo Kares, since it does have a punishment, so it's like a negative commandment, and therefore we want to make sure we never push off a Mila unnecessarily. Since it's a very severe punishment not to do the milah, so therefore, whether it's Shabbos or not, we do it right away. We're afraid if we push it off, one will forget to do it. But by shofar or lulav, not that it's a good thing if you miss it, but if you missed it, there's no punishment. You just nullified, it's just a blown opportunity of it. That's one answer. Another answer is because back in the day, we didn't have calendars, so we're waiting for witnesses to come. That's why in Israel, the only day they have two-day yontif is Rosh Hashanah, because that's on the first day of the month, Rosh Hashanah. So even in Israel, perhaps, in Yerushalayim, they didn't even know. But when it comes to Mila, I don't need to have a calendar. I just have to know how to count, because it doesn't make a difference what day of the week it is. I know on the eighth day after my child is born, I do a bris milah. So therefore, so doing a bris on day eight was a vadai, was a definite. On the eighth day is whether today was Rosh Hashanah or not, whether it's Rosh Hashanah or not, we don't know for sure. Because therefore, so I'm not going to carry, we know it's Shabbos, it might not be Rosh Hashanah back in the day before we had the calendars. So therefore, we didn't make the decree. So different reasons why Mila stood out, either because we're not afraid someone's going to perform a Mila if they don't know how, or there are other people warning you. It's an Asei Sheyesh Bo Kares. But the main reason I want to get to is the one I'm about to tell you is that Taz writes a famous answer, because you know why? Because it's Mefurish Bikra. Even though strictly speaking it's not, but they consider it, because the Torah says Uvayom Hashmini Yimo Bisara Laso, and on the eighth day you will do a circumcision. Should have just said Uvishmini on the eighth day. What do you mean Uvayom Hashmini? So the Gemara Chazal tell us Uviyom Afilu B'Shabbos. So based on Yud Gimel Midos, based on different halachic principles, the Taz writes, the Taz, one of the famous commentators on the Shulchan Aruch, we view Mila on Shabbos as something which is explicitly written in the Chumash. And as we said, the rabbis can't go against something which is explicitly written. So Mila on Shabbos is considered Mefurish Bekra, is considered explicit. So the rabbis have no power to tell me not to do it. But by Shofar, again, even though Lulav it says, Uvayom Uakachta Machem Bayom Harishon, isn't that explicit? Yeah. But it doesn't say when it falls out on Shabbos. So therefore, so when it comes to Mila, the rabbis have zero power because God said explicitly you have to do it on Shabbos if it's day eight. So therefore, the rabbis can't make a decree. And in fact, it's an interesting question of the Taz as well and the Bach. So let me ask you something. Okay, so therefore, the rabbis can't stop Mila, but they can stop Shofar. And therefore, on Shabbos, we're only going to blow Shofar on Sunday. They ask another question. Are you allowed to play a musical instrument on Yontif? So we all know the Gemara tells us, no, we cannot play a musical instrument on Yontif. Why? Zera Shema Yisaken Kli Shir. We're concerned you might come to fix it and violate a biblical prohibition. Playing the musical instrument's only rabbinical, probably, depending on what the instrument is. But the concern is it might break and you might come to fix it. And therefore, so no musical instrument. So some commentators ask, then how can we blow shofar on? Last I checked, it always works out every year. Rosh Hashanah falls out on Yontif. Yontif is Rosh Hashanah. So every Rosh Hashanah by definition is a Yontif. So how could we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah ever? But even if it's not Shabbos, it's Yontif and we have a principle on Yontif. I can't fix a musical instrument, so maybe the shofar will break, and I'll come to fix it. So some want to answer, well, you can't fix the shofar. Some say you can. Others want to claim that shofar is not a musical instrument. So let's assume it is a musical instrument. What's the answer? So that's what the answer is, follows. Let's assume it is a musical instrument. You know why the rabbis can't tell you not to do it? Because we just finished saying, it's explicit in the Torah, you must blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. If we apply the decree, I'm not going to blow shofar because I might come to fix a musical instrument, I'll never blow shofar on Shabbos. And the rabbis can't go against something explicitly written in the Torah. So therefore, that's why we don't accept that decree. So to summarize, we've been saying in the Mikdash, on the temple, even on Shabbos, they blow shofar. We're not afraid they're going to carry because we have a principle, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, that we don't make rabbinic decrees in the temple, and the Kohanim are much more zealous than us. So in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, they would blow shofar. Why don't we blow shofar this year in Ottawa, Hamilton? Biblically speaking, we should blow shofar. But the rabbis were concerned that might lead to desecration of the Shabbos. They say no shofar on Shabbos and no Dalet Minim on Sukkot and no Megillah reading on Shabbos Purim. But I don't get it. The rabbi, Torah tells me, God tells me to do it. The rabbis tell me no. How can I not listen to God? So that's because God told us, Losasim in Adavar, Asha Yagido Acha Yominu Smo, that even if in fact, Rav Chanan Wasserman, one of the great rabbis who was a student of the Chafetz Chaim and was killed by the Nazis, in fact, one of my high school rebbeim, Rav Solomon Drillman, was a Talmud of Rav Chanan Wasserman in Europe. So he actually says that's what the Pasuk means. When the Pasuk says, don't turn away from the rabbi, when they tell you, what do you mean when the rabbis tell you right is left and left is right? He says, this is the case. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos and the Torah says, blow shofar, rabbis say no. So even when they're telling us right is left, we listen to the rabbis, and that's because the Torah tells us we have to listen to the rabbis. But even listening to the rabbis has its limits. They can only tell you not to do something. They can't tell you to eat a Big Mac. And they can't go against Sunday, which is explicitly written in the Torah. And therefore, since it says we have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, so they can't take it away from us. So therefore, we pointed out that that's why on Milah and Shabbos we do, because Milah is explicitly written in the Torah, and therefore the rabbis couldn't stop us. But Rosh Hashanah, we say, Gzeira Deraba, the rabbis were concerned, and therefore we don't blow shofar. We're only going to be blowing shofar one day this year. And just to conclude, so we have the two verses. It says Yom Truah and Zikron Truah. So we assume they apply to both days. In fact, you'll notice in your davening this year that when you're going to daven on Shabbos, the Magzu will tell you to say Zikron Truah, referring to because we're not going to blow shofar. And on Sunday, you're going to say Yom Truah. But what do we need two verses for? If we're saying Minat Torah, we have to blow shofar. Anyways, Rav Soloveitchik gave about a 6-hour Yortzeit shiur. I'll just tell you over in about 10 seconds that he says there are two parts to the mitzvah of shofar. That is the Yom Truah. There's the actual physical blowing of the shofar. That's the act. We always have an act in the mitzvah. However, and usually that's enough. I eat the matzah, I shake the luv, and that's it. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and shofar, that's not enough. It has to be a zikron truah. It has to be a remembrance. It has to be a turning inward. Like the Rambam writes by shofar, it's the alarm clock. It has to wake us up. And it's not enough just to hear the shofar physically, but we have to internalize it and have it and hear the calls, you know, and wake us up. And that's why, especially this year, when we're not going to be blowing shofar on Shabbos, we should be learning about Hilchos shofar, Hilchos tshuva, etc. But those are the two aspects of the shofar. It's not just the time of Yom Truah, of hearing the shofar, of blowing it, but it also has to be a zikron truah, where we internalize it and take on the messages of Elul and Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Have a good vach, everyone. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Have a good vach,
everybody.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, and have a good vach.
I just want to say a couple words here, if I could, at the very end here. Avi, just want to mention that my congregation, on behalf of that, we want to thank Rabbi Mrs. Sullivan for coming to join us for Thursday night and tonight for Masoya Shabbos. It was wonderful to listen to both of you, so we're learning a great deal from you. And especially, on a personal note, Mrs. Sullivan, that